Dat straalt en glänzt every feurige gloed. Wem
is dieses Wasser bekan?
O zele ik bete die kam, an zu diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtiglich. O Glaube, es fließet für dich, wohin diesen Strom sich nur immer ergibt. Da jubelt und jauchzet das Herz, das nun mehr den köstlichen Segen genießt, erlöset von Sorgen und Schmerz. O Seele, ich bitte dich, komm und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig wie. O Glaube, es fließet für dich. Der Strom ist gar tief und sein Wasser ist klar. Es schmeckt so lieblich und fein, es heilet die Kranken und stärkt wunderbar. Ja, machet die Unreinsten rein. O Seele, ich bitte dich, komm und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig lieb. O Glaube, es fließet für dich. Das Wasser des Lebens, das ist diese Flut. Durch Jesu ergießet sie sich, sein kostbares, teures und heiliges Blut. O Sünde, vergaß er für dich. O Seele, bitte dich, komm und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig lieb. O Glaube, es fließet für dich. Wenn dürst, der komme und trinke sich satt, so rufet der Geist und die Braut, nur wer in den Strome gewaschen sie hat, dann angeht sie Gottes und schau. O Seele, ich bitte dich, komm, und such diesen herrlichen Strom. Sein Wasser fließt frei und mächtig lieb. O Glaube, es fließet für dich. Yeah, people had to go through what I had to go through to find truth. They would appreciate it a lot more. I had to lose everything to find his ear truth. And like I say, if people would have to go through to find it, if they had such a yearning to find it, then I tell you, you'd have a lot more people mm-hmm. that are interested. Mm-hmm. But here they don't have to go looking for it. It's already paved out for them. All they have to do is accept it mm-hmm. and believe it. Oh, have you not heard of that beautiful stream that flows through the promised land? The waters gleam bright in the heavenly light and ripple of golden sand. Dear soul, will you pray, will you come and wash in this beautiful stream? This water flows free, so clear and true. Believe it is flowing for you. Its fountains are deep and its waters are pure and sweet to the weary soul. It flows from the throne of Jehovah alone. Oh, come where it's bright with flow. Dear soul, we pray, will you come and wash in this wonderful stream? This water flows free, so clear and true. Believe it is flowing for you. This beautiful stream is the river of life. It flows for all nations free, a balm for each wound, and this waters is found. O sinner, it flows for thee. Dear soul, we pray, will you come and wash in this beautiful stream? This water flows free, so clear and true. Believe it is flowing for you. To them that are thirsty, the spirit and bright, say, come, you may drink of it free. All those that are washed and in Jesus abide, our Father in heaven receives. Oh, dear, will you pray, will you come and wash in that beautiful stream? This water flows free, so clear and true. Believe it is flowing for you. Lines up with Revelation. To him that is athirst, let come. To him that has been invited to the marriage, blessed is he that has been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever hear it, let him say, come. See, we take this thing serious. This is not just a song. This is where it's at right now. The age of circumcision is over. When Jesus said, the crucified, when he was crucified, that was it for circumcision. And now the grace age is over. Baptism in Jesus' name is over. No use. You can never go back to that. That doesn't serve its purpose. As of October 15, 2021, when Jesus went off to seat of mercy. And now what's the only thing that's left is the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you reject that, I'll tell you what, you're going to have to go. It's not the end of it all. It's not the end all we're all, because those that reject the invitation, they're going to have to pay a heavy price. They're going to have to give their life, because after that, once that rapture happened, there's another scripture that kicks in. Blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. See, you and I, we have a respect for the Word of God. It's very simple. Once you have a reverence and a respect for the Word of God, because God put His Word above His very name. There's no way you could change the Word of God. And like I say, the grace age had done served its purpose. It was simply to call out the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only way he could get into that movement, it was in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38. There's a lot of people that had been baptized like that, but they didn't take it very seriously. They just went through the motions. I know a lot of people that got baptized in Jesus' name, mm-hmm. but they live worse than the devil. They're just as bad. But it's something you have to do. It's a commitment. It's a sealing of your faith. Mm-hmm. Now that's over. People they get baptized, but they don't mean nothing.
A lot of people think if they get baptized in Jesus' name, and then they're signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah.
That's all they need to do. They don't understand that a Christian walk is a journey. It's a day-by-day journey.
Lifelong,
exactly. It's not just thinking that you get baptized and then that's a signed deal. It's not the way it works.
Like that guy we took out to the Delta Beach to get baptized. He went and told everybody he's a Christian now because we baptized him in Jesus' name. But his lifestyle didn't change nothing. He still kept his flat earth stuff, and to this day he believed that he had no life change there whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, and see, just baptism doesn't cut it. You got to have a life that proves it. Mm-hmm. Like the way you and I, we can't go out and do whatever we want to do because the Word of God won't let us. You know, it's got us on a pretty tight rope. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we get up every morning, because of the Word of God. It's just the Spirit and the bride say, come, you know. If you reject that, I'm afraid it's not going to go very good. See, you and I, we know the hour we're living in. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most priceless things that we found the Lord gave us along this journey, to know the hour we're living in. We know we're living right. The closing days of time. We're in the week of Daniel, and it's closing out very rapidly. By the time 2028 comes around, about September, October, somewhere in there, and the week of Daniel is done, then it's all blueprinted. It's so simple for you and I. It kind of blows me away that people don't see it, because Revelation, cut down to the day. You got to know where you are in time. It's all about that midnight cry, and then it goes into October 15th, 2021, when that Yom Kippur feast is on, and Jesus goes off the seat of mercy, and he is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This all happened right here on our very nose, but see, people are caught up with materialism. Like it was in the days of Noah. Noah was out there building an ark, and for 100 years he was doing it, and people just didn't see it. And the flood came and took him away. It's the same way here, right under our very noses, this thing happened. Just like I said, October the 15th, 2021, there was that Yom Kippur feast, and there was Jesus going off to see the mercy, the fullest of the Gentiles that come in. And all this happened simultaneously. The seventh seal was opened, and it's very simple, because you and I, we've exercised ourselves. All these people, they were out there building communities and colonies and businesses and all that stuff. Well, we took time out, and we were obsessed with the Word of God. I went searching for this here, Weisheim and Strom. I know of a stream. And the reason I know of that stream, because I was looking for it all my life, and it cost me everything to find it, and then once I found it, I got to hold on for dear life. I was kicked from pillar to post, homeless, and a vagabond, and didn't even have a job, didn't even have a home, all because I went looking for this piece.
Right. Mm-hmm.
More than fame, wealth, or desire, more than the world attire, more than anything in this world I'm out to make it. Take my possessions, great and small, friends and family, you can take them all. But more than anything in and mighty. Yes, more than anything in my life I've got to make it. I got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I got to hear him say, well done, enter my shiny one. But more than anything in my life I've got to make it. What good is all I've come to know? I'll gain this world and lose my soul. But more than anything in my life I've got to make it. If I can run and keep the pace, then I'll see his blessed face. But more than anything in my life I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my child you won. But more than anything in my life I've got to make it. More than fame, wealth, or desire, more than all this world's attire, but more than anything in my life I've got to make it. Take my possessions, great and small, friends and family, you can take them all, but more than anything in my life I've got to make it. Yes, more than anything in my life I've got to make it. I've got to know my name's inscribed in the Lamb's great book of life. I've got to hear him say, well done, enter my child you won. But more than anything in my life I've got to make it. I would rather live for him, more than anything I know, more than houses and land, than riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him, more than anything I know. You may wonder why I choose to live this way, and you may wonder how I make it through the day. Well, I found the answer when I fell down on my knees. I would rather live for him more than anything. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. More than houses and land, our riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for it more than anything I know. All these earthly things, they will ruin and decay, but it don't matter, I don't need them anyway. For my treasure is over somewhere on the blue. I've given him my everything, now it's all up to you. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. More than houses and land, our riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. All these earthly things, they will ruin and decay, but it don't matter, I don't need them anyway.
For my treasure's over somewhere on the blue.
I've given him my everything. Now it's all up to you. Oh, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. More than houses and land, our riches untold, than to live in this world and lose my soul. I tell you, my friend, I would rather live for him more than anything I know. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his faithful life of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth.
Like you and I, it's not just a song, eh? Mm-hmm. It's the blueprint that God made back before the foundation of the world. It's like building a building, eh? You're done. You're done. Once you got the roof on, you're done. Go back and build a foundation. Put the foundation in, and then the walls, and then the roof, and then the siding, and then the interior, and that's all we're doing here. God made the blueprint, and now he's putting it all together. Abram went out looking for that city, you know. He just went looking for it. And here we are, fulfilling scripture, like you keep saying. The crucifixion, then ended up the circumcision era, then October the 15th, 2021, then ended up the baptism era, and now we're an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and it's rapidly moving on. And like I say, the reason we know that, we know exactly where we are in time. We don't have, we never miss a beat, because we're just continuing on. The truth is marching on very rapidly, and we just happen to, nothing strange to you and I, what's mm-hmm. going on. We just happen to step into the truth for our day, and then we're just moving right along with it. And if people have a hunger and a thirst for it, that's all that. That's why we're on the journey. We had a hunger and a thirst for the things of God, yeah. And there's nobody's stopping. We're just moving along with the stream, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like when you build a house, you put the foundation and the walls, and then the roof, and then the shingles, and then the siding, and all that stuff make common sense. And we just happen to. But the problem is, we got an adversary out there deceiving everything, trying to twist the picture, trying to get us to put the foundation on when the roof is already on, things like that. Mm-hmm. Everything that. Out there, that religious system, that's all they're good for, to mess everything up. But see, we're normal people. We just have common sense.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, when you look at back on your life, you know, we were kicked from pillar to post. We had no place to call home, really, because our whole makeup was consumed with seeking the truth for our day and hour. And until we found that, we couldn't rest, you know. Something mm-hmm. in us was driving us to search for what we really didn't know what it was until we came to it. When we found the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, that's mm-hmm. What we were looking for. Like, and when you look back in your life, and everything else was secondary, just to find that place, you know.
That's all it's about. We're like you were saying, we were looking out there, looking and looking, and we knew there was something that missing in our life. And the key to lead us here is God sent a prophet. Mm-hmm. And I want to just read something here to you. And Malachi chapter 4, the last prophet that was sent to Israel was Malachi before the Lord came.
And that was 400 years before John the Baptist, yeah.
They were without a prophet 400 mm-hmm. years. And then he said here, Malachi 4, on the way out, the last chapter of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5. See, you and I, we have a respect for the Word of God. When we go back to the Scripture and everything we say and do is lined up with the Scriptures. And it says here, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, it wasn't the literal Elijah. It was the anointing mm-hmm. of Elijah. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And, here's his job, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That's what that Elijah did, the hearts of the fathers to the children back in the days of John the Baptist. Now, 2,000 years later is the other part of the Scripture. And the heart of the children back to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. That's where we are at time. Now we're here 2,000 years later. That is part of that script. Now we are the children through the apostolic faith of our fathers, and we are being turned back to that early church. That was the ministry of Brother Branham. Just because nobody accepts it, just because the world church has rejected it, that doesn't mean that it didn't happen. There are certain individuals that I did accept the prophet of the age. I did accept. You and I are a prime example. When we heard about it, we just dropped everything out like a hot potato, and we pursued what that prophet had to say. Mm-hmm. Just that simple. And then he turned us back to the apostolic faith of our fathers, and you and I are a prime example. We're living exactly the way the early church lived. Community of goods. We can't say none of my stuff is mine and none of your stuff is yours. We're living that Gemeinschaft, that genuine, true Gemeinschaft. We have the same faith, one baptism and one God. Well, it didn't just wasn't handed to us on a silver platter. We had to lose everything more than anything in life. We had to make it, and that's what we're about now. We just found that place in Christ, and we're being turned back to the apostolic feet of our Father. And if you and I were the only two people that actually think it did serious, where are you going to find two people that live like you and I? Like I say, we got one car, we live in the early church. They had community of goods, but they all... But first of all, they had a belief structure, right? They had that one faith, one baptism, and that one God. And they had everything lined right up. And now Satan infiltrates everything and pollutes everything. And then he comes up with that phony community style living. And he takes certain scriptures out, all things common. And then what that other thing is built on, just all things come. But they forget the most important and greed, all those that believe. You got to have the belief structure right.
Amen.
And then they brainwash you into that diabolical, satanic, Satan's water baptism, and then they're forcing people, coercing people to come and live together and have a certain dress code and all that gibberish and all that garbage. It's all behind it, all the spirit of Satan. It's nothing like the early church had. No. They didn't have rules and regulations in the early church. The Holy Spirit did it all. And it was led and guided by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down, and that was the Holy Spirit that was leading and doing exactly what the Scripture said. When the Holy Spirit will come, He will lead and guide you into all truth. And that's what He's done with you and me. Prior to 2005, I didn't even know you existed. And then the Lord, by the Spirit of the living God, we got together from time to time we go down to them horse, and the more we spend time, the more we realize we got the same faith. You believe exactly what I believe. And then eventually the Lord saw that too, and he put us together and went trucking for forever and a day, and 7 years, I think. And then he took us off the truck, and he got us to do this here thing. It's all driven by the Spirit of the living God, led by and guided by the eyes. And like I say, we're being led back to the first church, to the Apostolic Church of our Father, because for 2,000 years, all that has been lost. Now, God said he's going to send that Spirit of Elijah, and again, that Spirit of Elijah was on Brother Branham. That's why we take it so serious. That's why we keep repeating it then. The importance of having that apostolic faith of our fathers, and the importance of having that Brother Branham's ministry, or really what it is. It's really that angel that God, this is the revelation that God gave to Jesus, to give to the angel, to give to Brother Branham. It's really behind it. We mentioned Brother Branham, but really behind it is mm-hmm. God. That and is. Then he gives it to Jesus, and Jesus uses that angel to speak through the whole course of Brother Branham. He could put Brother Branham out, and it's really that angel that's speaking, but you got to have vocal cords. Everything has to make sense. You just got to use common sense here. And he came to take us back to the apostolic feet of our fathers.
Right.
I want to talk to you about that that making a preacher. Like somebody sent us a clip here some time back. They're going to be making something like 15 preachers or something here in the next 2-3 months. And what they do, they don't do what the early church did. Well, once on the day of Pentecost, it was no more pulling lots to make a preacher, you know, like they did before. Once the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit told them who to call out, and where to go, who to take with you, like he did with Paul. The Holy Spirit told Paul, take Mark along, or take Barnabas along, or take whoever. The Holy Spirit was leading and guiding that whole church, mm-hmm. because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. But now what they do now, what they're going to be doing here, because that other, I think, is a satanic church. It's just that simple. And they don't use the Holy Spirit to make a preacher. Because back before Pentecost, that's what they did. They pulled lots. But once in the day of Pentecost, they did not pull lots anymore. The Holy Spirit was running the show, because the Bible says Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And how can he be the head when he got nothing to say about nothing? When they use politics to make a preacher. That's all it is. That other thing is all just with politics. That Satan is the head of it. And we're just exposing it because we have to do that, because we believe that Father Brenner was sent to take us back to the early church, to the apostolic gate mm-hmm. of our fathers, and that's what they did. And once the Holy Ghost fell, it was the Holy Ghost that was telling them who to make a preacher and who not to. How to do it, who to go, and where to go, and what to do. And they didn't have all these rules and regulations. They were just led by the Holy Spirit, and they went from house to house giving communion, and they had one faith, they had one baptism, and that whole Middle East was Christianized mm-hmm. in short order. They didn't have no dress code or nothing. They just lived in town, but they went from house to house. Let's say in Jerusalem, there was a house over there. They were believers. And then the apostles, they went from house to house, wherever there was Christian believers, and that whole family had communion and things like that. It was like it was today, where Satan has infiltrated that whole thing, and then you got to have a certain amount of land, and then you go together and live together, and then when they need a preacher, they come together, and it's all politics, what they do. They put two to four guys in the cap, and then that's your preacher then. God's got no say-so whatsoever. It's usually politics, because I can prove it to you, that guy in Rock League at Jay Klein's house was asking, they were making a preacher. And he asked him, that old Fred there,
who do you want for preacher? And, well, I would prefer to have 10 for preacher. Well, then we'll see to it that you get 10 for preacher. And then what he did, there's 2-3 guys that were set up, you know, to put in the cap. So what he just puts 10 on all 3 tickets. And then, of course, when you pull one of those tickets out of the hat, there's 10 on that one thing, because when he came to dying, he had to go make a confession. That's what they did. That's how he got that tip to be preached. God's got no say-so in that thing whatsoever. Some of them, sometimes they do, but there's a lot of politics involved. Who to put in the cap, you know? It depends who you got for a deacon. You know how it is. You know how corrupt it is. Even down at Miami in Skyview, when you made a preacher, that old Kiyichi made sure that his son gets the job, you know? It's all politics. And there's no use pretending it's not, because the Holy Spirit has absolutely nothing to say in the matter whatsoever. And here they're going to be making, I don't know how many, maybe 8. I know that Rolling Inc. was making one, Riverside making another one. They just made one here a few years back, but he kind of fell by the wayside. And then now that new Sturgeon Creek Colony, I don't know how many are there. I think there's 5, 7, or 8. And they're going to be doing the same old trash. They're going to use politics to put somebody in the hat. And what we're doing, the early church didn't operate like that. You know, the Holy Spirit told them who to put in for a preacher. And like I was saying the other day, back in the days of Stephen, the Holy Spirit told him who to call out 7 men that'll run the business now, that'll run the finances. And Stephen was one of those people, and it was all led by the Spirit of the living God.
Right. You know? And in the early church, when we say back to the faith of the early church, it was one God, one baptism, one faith. And you can see that when Paul, he was the church age messenger of Ephesus, and he said, after my departure, grievous wolf will come in, not sparing the flocks. And see, those are the grievous wolves, self-made bishops, mm-hmm. that rose up. If they would have been obedient to what the Holy Spirit had, they would have realized that Polycarp and Irenaeus, those were the continuation of what from the early church of and Paul going into the church age of Smyrna, and they would have listened to him. But Irenaeus, he had to combat a lot of heresies, mm-hmm. a lot of these false teachers that were starting to rise up in the midst with their false ideas of baptism and the Godhead. Then they had so many distorted ideas already that by the time 325, when Constantine came along, they had a meeting, the Council of Nicaea, and they changed the water baptism to the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the titles. See, that's what, when we say, like, and that's why they believe in 3 gods, mm-hmm. and they don't have the concept of the Godhead, who God is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and what the role is of the Holy Spirit. And all that is included in the faith, what the early church had. So coming back to the church age of Laodicea, that is when the ministry of that Elijah spirit that you read here, that will turn us back to the faith of the early church, the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And that's what he did. The ministry of Brother Branham was to bring us back to that original faith. That's why we know what these denominational churches out there are. We know they don't have the truth. It was through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson that God was restoring these things.
Amen to that. And we're just doing our job, and if people like it, fine. If not, well, they can go fly a kite. They can go down the road of life and lead them right to destruction. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. We just pray you'll just continue to lead and guide us by that of your Spirit, Lord. I just pray you'll give us something to talk about, something that has any value for the hour and time we're now living in, Lord. Today we want to expose that
and Hutter are making preacher thing and how corrupt it is, and it's all just politics. And the early church, they just they were led by the Spirit of the Living God, and to this day, we're just setting a standard and an example. The things we say and do is not our own thing. We just decided one day, Lord, we want to follow you. We want to follow Jesus. We want to be led by that of your eyes, Lord. And of course, we've taken all the ridicule and all being made fun of. That's all part of the program. But Lord, we just pray you'll help us to be faithful right to the end, Lord, so that at the end of the day, we'll have something to show up for it, Lord, and we'll be found to be faithful, Lord. That's all we ask in this life. We have nothing other to say and nothing other to give except the things that you put on our hearts to say and do, Lord. We just pray to get that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You see, we don't have a very attractive message here, what the things we're saying. In fact, a lot of people get turned off, but that's okay. See, we have a job to do, and if we stand alone, we stand alone. Because Paul, back in his day, he said, if I'm a servant of, if I yet please men, you know, we don't say things to please men and to get the crowd. We have to be honest to the Lord, and he said, if I yet please men, I cannot be a servant of Christ. We can't do God's word if we just go around trying to please people, because this thing that we're on, it's for people that have a hunger and a thirst for eternity, for eternal life. And we're just putting it out there just to the best of our ability, and if people want it, fine. If not, well, follow the devil down to destruction. And now we're telling these hundred preachers and these people, they need to get their act together and allow the Spirit of the Living God to tell them what to do and what not to do. And like I say, it's been so corrupted that like you got two or three deacons and it's all in one family. Of course, they're just going to put whoever they think they want to put to go into that cap, you know, to be preacher for them, because it's all just a power struggle.
Yeah, and especially if they're not born again, how can the Holy Spirit direct them then? Who would want to continue the work of being a pastor or whatever, you know? It's the Holy Spirit that leads it, and people are not even born again. They're just born in a religious system and an organization, and they're just continuing on with the program that has been left to them since the 1500s on down. Since they were doing that, you know, and if they just decide this guy, it's in the family member, and then that's who they're gonna select as being the preacher. But you know, that's not how the Holy Spirit would work it. The Holy Spirit knows the heart, and he knows the whole makeup of a person, and that's the individual that he would select. And it's most likely, in many cases, likeliest candidate in most situations. You look at the Apostle Paul. Would they have chosen him to be a church age messenger? They wouldn't have, because he was the one persecuting the church. But he got converted, and it was the Holy Spirit that this is the one that is going to be the church age messenger to the Gentiles. And that's who was selected when he went up to the day of one day up to Damascus there, the road to Damascus. There he had his conversion. The Lord Jesus Christ met him and told him of the many things that he'll have to suffer for his name's sake. And he continued the work when he with the church age of Ephesus. That's what started that whole church's going. When you look at the Asian Minor churches there, that was all started by Paul and doing his evangelical work there. They went from place to place there, and eventually there were churches that started being raised up, and they weren't living in no commune. They were living in a town. The town was called Ephesus, or different towns they were called. That's where they were living. And in the town, there were a lot of people that didn't believe, you know, but they met in houses, and they had all had their profession of work, just like Paul had his profession of work, and he made tents and did ministry, and so, and he paid his own rent, and these things are in the Bible to let us know that the people can take something in the scripture and take it out of context and form an a religion on it.
See, the before the disciples were converted, they all had that power struggle. They all wanted to be preachers. They all, even right after the resurrection, they're arguing amongst themselves, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be preacher here? Who's going to be the kingpin here? Who's going to be the leader? And then they were jealous over one another, because after the resurrection even, Jesus had a conversation with Peter, and then he said, what are you going to do with that guy over there? Is he going to be the big guy in the block? Meaning John, you know? Mm-hmm. And Jesus told him, don't worry about John. You just follow me. And see how that power translates. Everybody and their dog, they think they're qualified to be preacher. And there's a power translate. They're going to move the goalposts, everything, whatever they can do to get to that position. It's all politics. And like I say, it's so crooked that the Satanist here that I invented is the devil is running the show, and it depends a lot on the family members. They want one of their family members to be the preacher, because it's still in the human mind and the human race and the human makeup. Everybody wants that high position, because we inherited from Nimrod. Nimrod said one day, let's go make a name for ourselves. Let's go to and build this tower and make a name for ourselves and prove God is not true. And so that if ever a flood comes, we'll go up this tower and get away from the flood. Like, mm-hmm. That's how stupid people are to this day. They think they can manipulate God, God, we're gonna make a preacher, and the people are gonna have to accept it. It's so corrupt, and that's why we the Lord pulled us out of that corruption, out of that Babylonian garbage. That's all it is. It's corruption, and the Lord took us out, and then He led us to the ministry of brother to teach us. Now He's teaching you and I. We're setting an example. That's exactly the way it's going to be in the millennium. The millennium is only 2-3 years away from now. Before all this corruption, before Babylon is going to fall, because it's already falling, and it says, rejoice, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, because Babylon is on its way out. This thing that you see, these wars and these rumors of war, that's all just the devil trying to stop the word of God from going ahead, because he knows his time is short, and he knows when certain things start to happen, then he knows he's got very little time left. That's why he's creating all these wars, trying to stop the word of God, trying to stop prophecy from happening. But at the end of the day, God's going to get the job done one way or another. And if you or I are on board with it, we'll have a blessed end, and we'll lag it behind, and then we're just going to not be ready when that rapture comes. That's what this whole thing is about. That's what we're putting in all our resources. Everything we say and do is all simply because we're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's like it was back in the early church. They were in their houses, having fellowship in their house, just like you and I are doing. We got a house here, right here in town, and that's what we're doing here on a day-to-day basis. We're having fellowship and community. We got community of good. We got everything together, just like the early church did. And we're setting an example. And if people want to do the same thing, they don't have to be here. They can do it at home in their houses with their family. They can have fellowship, but they can believe what we believe, because at the end of the day, it's going to happen anyway. And then God takes it over on into the millennium. And those people that will be ready, they will just simply go into that rapture, into the region beyond. And then not everybody that doesn't go in that rapture is lost. Because there's going to be a lot of so-called Christians that are not ready to go into that millennium because they didn't believe the message for their day. It's only those people that are ready, because the king comes in, and what he does, he checks through the guests to see if they're ready to go into that rapture and into the region beyond. And those people that are going to be left here, they're going to have to go through that tribulation. They're going to have to give their lives, and then there's still a lot of people left even after that. There's the goats and the sheep, and then the end of the day, and when Jesus
come back, and you can see it, and the separation of the goats and the sheep. But these are mortal. They're gonna go into life eternal because they were just good people. They were they did good. They didn't go out and kill their brother, and they didn't go out and slander their brother. They're just good people. They were the kind of people, exactly what they said. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty. I was in prison and you came to visit me. They were just ordinary, good people. They were doing what God told Cain. Cain, if you do good, you'll be accepted. And these people, these are mortal people. If they did good while they were here on earth, they'll be accepted. They'll go into eternal life, but they'll be mortal. They won't be immortal. It'll just be mortal. They're going to need the environment of sun throughout eternity. They're going to be living here on this planet as mortals, but they'll have eternal life. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. It's just the way they would be doing exactly what Adam and Eve would have been, what the human race would have been, if Adam and Eve would have partook of the tree of life, like they were told to only partake of the tree of life. And I've been saying it over and over again, the tree of life was sex for reproduction purposes only. But Satan, the devil, got into that serpent's head, and he was like an upright creature, and he had vocal cords and everything. And what the devil did, he got into his head, and then he had an intercourse with Eve, and then that's where Cain come from. And then see what he did. He introduced to the human race sex for pleasure, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why you have all that sex perversion out there. And the millennium, that won't be anymore, because in the millennium there's no more devil around, and that curse, all these curses that came because of the fall, will all be lifted and done away with. And there will be no more in the millennium, there will be no more sex for pleasure. It'll be sex for reproduction purposes only. And that's why it's going to be a hallelujah time there, just up the road here, just 3 years from now. And that's why we're putting everything in. Everything that we know to do, we're doing. We're just putting everything we got, and because when you realize where we are in time, and you realize what's up the road here and what's coming, then you don't care about finances or building yourself a big empire like I said yesterday. We went to see these colonies, and sometimes we drive through them, and it's a kingdom on its own, you know. We're not interested in that stuff, but that wealth and all that stuff, because it has no eternal value. And they've been so brainwashed, they think that's the way to have it. You have a nice community and everything up to hunky-dory. It's just a materialistic kingdom. It's just the things of this world. And they say they will vanish. Babylon is fallen. That's all part of that Babylonian structure where it says Babylon is falling, and then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what you and I are jeering in on. That's why we put all our effort into doing what we allowed ourselves to be led by the Spirit of the living God, so that at the end of the day we'll have something to show up for. We don't care what people say to our thing or what they do with us. Of course, that's standard procedure to be put at the outs with everybody, because Satan, he don't like what we have to say, and that at the end of the day, they'll even as much as go and kill you and thinking they're doing God a service. But that's all part of the program. When we've accepted that back in the day when we ended up against these thugs and told them exactly about the truth for their day, and they told me, you got till sundown to get out of here. That's all part of the program. We just kept on moving on. Like Jesus said, if the persecute one city, just shake the dust off your feet and go into the other city. And then as we kept moving on, the doors opening up, and then the Lord put us to, they tried to shut us up, but then the Lord told us to start up his website. And now it's all on, it's going all over the world. And we got nothing to do with the Lord. It's just behind orchestrating this whole thing. And all you and I have to be is to be obedient and to be faithful to the Spirit of the living God. And that's the only thing we have to say here in these last days of time.
That's right. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we know that throughout time, Lord, you always had a voice that was speaking for a message that you have for the every generation, Lord. And we know you had a voice here in our day and hour, Lord. The church age of Laodicea, you had an Elijah anointing to bring us back to the faith of the early church. And if people are not partakers of that, then they're not going to know the truth of what you have done in this hour. And led by the Holy Spirit, because it's just what you have ordained before time began, what you're going to have for this hour of time. So we just want to present it to people, how you've moved along in time, Lord, and the voice that you used in this day and age, Lord, and how you have selected every church messenger, Lord. It was your chosen vessel, Lord, just like Brother Brennan was prepared, like when he was very young, to bring out a message for this Laodicea church age. And if people would have believed it, you wouldn't see all these denomination churches out there today. And that we're just trying to bring it into perspective, Lord. And we just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.